Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Studying now from the 7th chapter of the book of Romans, where the Apostle Paul is illustrated through marriage that we're no longer, and the Jews were no longer, under the old Mosaic law, because now they were married to another, the risen Christ, he goes on to say, having stated that the law was good, it might seem that the law might have appeared to be evil in the sight of some people, because it was taken out of the way. He says in verse 13, was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by what that which was good, that sin, by the commandment, might become exceedingly sinful. You see, Paul is emphatically denying any kind of conclusion that will say that the law of Moses was not good. It was good. The fault was in man for failure to keep that law. The law had simply made sin to appear what it is, deceptive and destructive. It identified sin as sin. Now, the purpose of the old law was not to bring about salvation for mankind. It was not that system that God had promised to Abraham. The result of the law was death, because it condemned that which produces death, spiritual death. And death was the result of sin. But it wasn't the fault of the law to point out what sin is and the condemnation of sin. Now, here's the problem that Paul said he faced, and in fact we all face. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which is good, which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that will is which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Really and truly, Paul is giving a defense of the old law. It's not that the old law was still binding, but he was defending on the old law that it was not evil. The law was a spiritual law. It appealed to the spirit of man. It was from God. But the problem is, men are carnal, and they were subject to sin. And people are not always willing to abide by the spiritual appeal of the laws that God has made toward mankind. He illustrates his carnality. He shows the inconsistency within himself, and it exists between me and you also. He said, I do what I ought not. I do not do what I ought. I even do what I hate. And when I realize I do not live properly under the law, I acknowledge I ought to live according to the law, and I recognize that the law itself is good. Paul is simply asserting here, friend, that it was contrary at times to his will to sin. Nonetheless, he sinned anyway. The desire to sin at times was stronger than his determination to resist sinning. And even when his will was not to sin, his flesh would override his will. Paul makes a very graphic presentation of the destructive power of sin. It deceives. It causes you to believe something to be true when it is not true. It overrides your will at times. Sin causes you to do what you know you ought not to do. It strikes at the appetites of the body to lead you to violate God's law. It prevents you from doing things that you ought to do. And when Paul says in verses 17 through 20, "It is no longer I that do it," he is not removing his guilt. He is not saying he's not responsible for his sinning. He's simply saying, "It wasn't my intention. It wasn't my will. But sin overcame me, and I sinned anyway, and the law of Moses pointed out those sins." And in verse 20 he says, "I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. For I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members." Now, what Paul knows and what Paul reveals is that man does not always live according to what he intends and to what he would prefer. One may even delight, friend, in the law of God, but unless he keeps that law, he is guilty of sin. The inward man, the spirit of man, may well see the goodness of God, but there is a conflict raging within him. There is this ongoing spiritual warfare, and this war is between the mind and the body, between the spiritual requirements of the law that appeals to the mind of man and the temptations of sin that appeal to the fleshful lusts of the body. Paul says, "The law in my members," that's the law of sin, "is the appeal of sin. On the other hand, the law of the mind is God's law. It appeals to the mind of man." Friend, the mind of God, or the man of God, so long as he lives on this earth, he's going to be engaged in this spiritual conflict, and he must learn to overcome evil with good rather than to be overcome by the evil. Paul then describes his situation in most horrible terms. "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" He says, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." You see, because of this constant conflict between good and evil, right and wrong, a warfare that must be fought, Paul describes himself as a wretched man. And that's true of me, and that's true of you, that's true of every man. We have the same conflict. But Paul shows how he can be victorious. He cannot live in perfection, but he can be victorious over sin. What is the answer to the problem of this warfare? It's not what is the answer, who is the answer? He says it's through Jesus Christ. Christ, friend, is the answer to the spiritual conflict that we all have to fight. Paul is showing here that man has two paths that he can choose to follow. He can follow the law of God, or he can follow the law of sin. Man is faced with the choice, the necessity of the choice, and to allow the mind, which is given over to the law of God, to govern and to rule, or he can allow the body to rule over the mind. Whatever man decides to do, that will determine his life here upon the earth, and that will determine his eternal destiny. You see, sin is to be foreign to the life of the Christian, both in body and in mind. But now, which shall it be? Let's understand, friend. Paul is presenting here God's way of saving man. Here's the way of sin. It will lead to our destruction. Here's the way of the mind, the way of God, the way of truth. It will lead to everlasting life. But we must make a choice. God has created us with the power of volition. God has created us as free moral agents. Now the laws of Moses and the laws under which the Gentiles lived, it condemned sin, but it did not provide that which the law of Jesus Christ provides, and that's the forgiveness of sins. The way the Christian ought to live, however, cannot be misunderstood. We must listen to the authority of Jesus Christ. We don't live under the Ten Commandments. We don't live under the edict and the ordinances of the law of Moses. We live under thus saith the Lord according to the authority of Jesus Christ. With this, we turn now to the 8th chapter of Romans. The 8th chapter is the longest chapter in this book, and it is indeed one of the most glorious chapters in all of the Bible. And as we begin it, we see that there's something here that's characteristic sometimes in studying the Bible. The thoughts that Paul is talking about in chapter 7, he carries over into the first part of chapter 8. The general theme continues, the discussion of the way that God saves man. And he begins to point out the glorious things of those who will follow after the Spirit of life. He says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now, to say that there is no condemnation, that's simply another way of saying there is salvation. This is like what Paul said in 2 Timothy 2:10. Salvation is in Christ. But this no condemnation is not those who walk after the sinful flesh, but those who walk after the edicts and the teachings of Christ as given by the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life is in Christ Jesus. It hath made me free from the law of sin and death. He mentions here in this first two verses two laws. He's going to mention another in the next verse. But here's the law of the flesh. Here's the law of sin and death. But here's the law of the Spirit of life. Those two are contrary one to the other. And the law of sin and death, that's inevitable when we transgress the will of God. But there's this law of the Spirit of life in Christ that will deliver us and make us free from the condemnation of the law of sin and death. Well, those who are in Christ, they're the ones who escape this condemnation. But at the same time, those in Christ have an obligation to live their lives a certain way, not according to the satisfaction of the appetites of the flesh, but to live life as directed by the Holy Spirit in the Word of God. The Christian way of life is revealed to us through the Scriptures. The Holy Spirit is the author of that law that brings life. One law, the law of life, overcomes that law of sin and death. The law of sin and death simply says, you sin, you die. But the law of the Spirit of life releases one from that spiritual death, and it enables us to live with God, both now and throughout eternity. Well, we'll pick up our study then with verse 3 of chapter 8, one of the most glorious chapters of all the Bible. We hope you'll be with us. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.